Breakfast Club. That was pretty good, huh? That was intense.
That was intense.
I got pretty emotional here. Actually, I teared up a little bit. Yeah, I was getting in the zone. All right, Product Breakfast Club, welcome. This is episode 19 of the Product Breakfast Club.
19. Oh, I nearly pulled out my headphones. I got so excited
there. It's a lot of episodes. We are doing another short one. I'm setting my time timer for 20 minutes. I am Jake Knapp. I am a designer and writer. This is my co-host, Jonathan Courtney. Jonathan, who are you?
Hello, I'm Jonathan Courtney. I am a designer and I am a founder of a design agency.
In Berlin. You're in Berlin. I'm in San Francisco.
In Berlin.
It's morning here, evening there. Let's do this thing. What are we talking about today?
Jake, today I was minding my own business.
As usual.
I was sitting around, you know, and Kit, one of my lovely employees,
Kit.
He's a video editor and a videographer at AJ and Smart. I guess he, you know, overheard some of the things that I'd been talking about and some of the projects that I've been doing. And he was like, is it like a bad
thing?
Could
you do it in Kit's voice?
Oh, he has a very British accent.
Could you do it?
All right, love. Jonathan, is it just wondering? I was just listening to you and I was wondering if, I can't do it.
Okay,
man.
That's okay. That was good enough. We got a flavor. Okay.
It is good.
Do it in your voice.
So basically, he asked me, he wanted to make a YouTube video talking about this. We actually ended up making it, but his question was, is it like a good thing that I'm after getting so good at making products that are like addictive?
Oh, yeah.
Is it something that like I actively think about the fact that there is potential that the products that I'm making, people are going to get addicted to? And then we ended up having a chat about Facebook and Instagram and that they're like basically geniuses at making things engaging and geniuses at making you open the app as many times a day as possible. And that just opened up into a conversation. And I guess my general thoughts around it were, you know what? I guess I don't really feel bad about that, especially if it's a product that's not like something evil. I want people to use something because they want to get something out of it. He did have a point because I'm a little bit addicted to Instagram and it does kind of disrupt my life and I keep opening it. But to be honest, that's also my fault. I really do feel like it's your own problem to deal with, right? If you're old enough to take care of your own shit, like obviously parents probably have to take care that their kids are not just like on Instagram and Snapchat all day. It was just something that made me think. I was like, for me, it's not like I'm doing something evil, but I think the way he said it was like I was working on the Manhattan Project or something.
Well, the Manhattan Project, I mean, there's two ways of looking at that too. So, but we probably don't know enough to have that conversation. We can talk about the products. I think for people who are new to the show or new to me, my background on this is I worked on Gmail for a few years. Gmail, I think, definitely a product that causes some distraction for people, including me to this day, even though it was a long time ago that I worked on it. And I haven't worked on games or social media products. And that's somewhat intentional. I don't know if those things are the best use of our time for myself, you know, the things that I try to stay away from, because we do have glitches as humans in our brains that make us susceptible to random rewards and to, you know, things that help us know what our status is in the group. That's a very human thing that we need to know our status in the group. It's how humans operate as social animals. And we have these little glitches that sometimes, intentionally or not, products can take advantage of. And so I think that the short answer to your question is designers do have a responsibility. Anybody building products has a responsibility. Anybody engineering products has a responsibility to invest their effort into something that they really believe in, that they can think of what the worst criticism of their product would be by somebody who said, like, this is a waste of time, this is detrimental to people. You need to be able to listen to that criticism and see if you can comfortably answer it. But also, as individuals, we have a responsibility. You can't just concede all responsibility to the companies and the people building the products. You have to take control yourself of your own time and your own attention. That's not easy because we do have these glitches. These products are really good. But no matter how moral we hope that the people building the products will be, we can expect that there's always going to be really good products out there that steal our time away from how we want to spend it. So ultimately, as an individual, there's like a huge burden on you to try to figure out how to focus your attention. These companies, Apple, Google, Facebook, they're going to do something about this. This is a topic that's out there. And people are more aware of this than they were 10 years ago when social media was new, when this stuff was just starting out. People are much more aware of how successful it can be. what happens with runaway success and what goes along with it. People are aware of it now and it's going to get better, but what do you do in the meantime? And even when it does get better, there's going to be somebody else who takes advantage of those glitches in our brains, whether intentionally or not. I think as a designer, you do have responsibility, but also just as a person, you also have responsibility. And this is just a human challenge. There have always been things competing for our attention. They're just more sophisticated now.
I have a pretty cynical view of what's going to happen. I think that 10 years from now, people are going to be looking back to Facebook and Instagram and saying, I really wish that my kids were just using Facebook and Instagram and not wearing this like cucumber-shaped object that they strap to the back of the head and they, I don't know what it does. I think what's going to happen is a company like Apple or Google, more than likely Apple, is going to come along with an iOS update and say, so now we have a system level blocker for all your social media platforms so you can have some mind-free moments and whatever, right, something right. like that. And they're even going to like start recommending maybe, you know, times for using them and stuff like that.
Which would be good.
Which would be good. But here's the cynical part of it. Apple isn't going to do that because it's a good thing. Apple's going to do that because that's going to be amazing for advertising and PR. Yeah. Like, that's just going to sound so good, right?
This
and
I can already... This, wait, I'm going to interrupt you because this is a key point. Do you believe that the people building the products are cynical, that they're trying to manipulate their customers? Or do you believe the people building the products are trying to do the best by their customer? And I believe they're trying to do the best by their customer. I know people who work at Facebook. I know people who work, obviously, at Google. I was working on Gmail, which is a pretty addictive product in its own way. Email is. Everybody I know working on these products, they're trying to do right by their customers. You know, folks at Apple that I know, they're trying to do right by their customers. I don't believe that it's going to be totally cynical, but there are market pressures that make it hard for them to do it. You know, I hope that the market pressure starts to be, I want products, I want software and services that actually make my life better, that help me put my attention on the thing that matters. If people start valuing that with their attention, their time, their money, then everything's aligned. But people have to ask for it.
I agree. No, but that's what I'm actually being cynical about when Apple does come out and do this OS level blocker, you know, like basically freedom app, but OS level. I think that everyone's going to be super excited and there's going to be huge news stories about it. And I will use it. And I think it's a great thing that will happen. But the market pressure to push them in that direction isn't going to be them being altruistic. It's going to be them getting more people buying iPhones and being more excited about
it. It's
iOS.
All the same. So it's not all the same. I mean, they're successful because they build products that they want people to really love. The thing that I think is that people think there's like a Scooby-Doo villain running these companies being like,
that's true.
How do we hack people's brains to like steal their money? Like, it's just not like that. It's an oversimplification. And the problem, I think, with that whole line of argument that the tech companies are manipulative, it's good because it puts pressure on them to react. That's fine. But it takes the responsibility out of the hand of the individual. And it says, oh, the companies are bad. They got to stop using us. You know, there's things you can do to take control of your attention. Now, you hear me say that, you should know I'm biased. That's what my new book is about. It's about attention. It's about how to put your attention on the things that matter to you. And we talk a lot in the book, Make Time. Little advertisement here. You can go to maketimebook.com and pre-order it now. It is available for pre-order. Comes out in September. But, you know, a big part of our whole take on it is you can do things right now today that will help you get control of your attention. And you should do that. You absolutely should.
So first of all, there are companies who go out of their way purposely to totally fuck with people. And those companies are mobile gaming companies, and they absolutely 100% on purpose try to manipulate and trick people into buying things. That's like how these companies operate. Now, the tech companies like Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all of these, I don't think they're trying to do it. I 100% agree with you. Their brand is too important for them to even try to go down those routes. Honestly, yeah, when I'm working on digital products, when the client maybe gives me the task to increase engagement, I do think about, okay, why would you want to increase the engagement? Yeah. Okay, that's the reason. But I then put on the blinders and just like push towards like, how can I come up with like really the best solution for the user?
Okay, this is interesting.
Yeah, but in the end, I am actually trying to, if I think about that in terms of engagement, I am in the end really then getting excited and focused on how can I get people to use this thing more often without deeply thinking about like, is that like a bad thing, right?
This is interesting.
That's something I'm admitting right now. I get excited. I really get super excited when a company gives me this task. I love doing it. The only time I question it and the only time I don't do it is when it's a totally manipulative system that's trying to trick people into doing something. But sometimes I enjoy that challenge.
So that is really interesting because, as you and I both know, anybody who's worked as an outsider doing design sprints with teams that you're not familiar with, if you get inside any challenge, it's interesting. What any company is doing, no matter how boring it sounds on the outside, it's interesting when you get inside and you try to figure out how to solve the problem. And this is, I think, another human brain glitch that we like to pick up problems. It's like picking up a Rubik's Cube, you know, and you want to try to solve it and we just get into it. We're like, you know, we're like monkeys trying to like get a banana out of a jar or something. I don't know if that's a thing, but that was good. That was a good sound effect. You, David Bowie and your monkey are really good. You have to work on your kit, but the other two are really good. I think that in a design sprint, is there a way to ensure that you don't do something that's counter to what's good for your customers? You bring up a good point. I think that these companies on the inside, they want to do right, but you're saying, look, there's a lot of game companies out there. Maybe the standards are different. I don't know. I haven't worked in gaming, so I just don't know. But suppose people are really just trying to go for engagement. They're just trying to steal as much time from their customers as possible. How do you, if you're working on a product like that, know how to react? How do you know how to put on the brakes? And I think that there should be some way you can decide. I think that it shouldn't have to be just on your kind of gut feeling. There ought to be some clear-cut sort of litmus test. Is this a good use of effort or not? Am I morally sort of responsible for stealing people's time if I do this? What do you think about that? Do you think there's a test? Do you think there's some way to know?
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. It doesn't in any way bug me, this topic. My official opinion of this is I don't think these companies are evil. I think people need to take care of themselves. I don't think this is going to be a huge problem like 10 years from now. I think this has always been part of society. When any new entertaining thing comes in, people get worried about it. I do notice that it is a problem for me personally and that I get less creative work done because I kind of get distracted by all this crap. And I do agree with you as well. Like, social media is a totally different beast because like TV and video games are kind of, you're consuming content. With social media, you are also contributing. And you want to know how people are reacting to that.
Yeah, so it makes it extra addictive. Yeah, what they think of you, right? You want to know what your image looks like and how you're perceived by others.
If you look at a company like Facebook, right? What is the business model? It's advertising. How do you get more advertising revenue? You keep people engaged longer. You keep people looking at the screen longer so that they can see more advertisements, right? That's the entire business model. And so there's no other project besides engagement, right? If you go and work at one of these Silicon Valley companies that's based on ad revenue, what other projects are you doing besides feeding this advertising?
That's a little cynical, but no, but fundamentally, you're right. I mean, you're right. The way that they make money is engagement. And that's true of Google too, you know, just to be honest. Like, that's true of any company that sells ads.
Yeah, of course.
If your business model is advertising, you're going to have to get people's attention as much as possible. There's a great book on the topic of engineering products to be addictive called Hooked.
Damn it. I was trying to get a RoboCop joke in there again. I was going to say, is it RoboCop the novelization?
But that was from the other episode.
I know, but I thought it's continuity.
Just to bring it back. Continuity. That's good. I could have been like, oh, it's Tunnel World to take people back to episode 16. It's called Hooked. It's by a guy called Nir Eyal. He's a super smart guy. He talks about the behavioral science of products that are addictive, how you can build a product that's addictive, and also just sort of like the mechanics of how it works. It's a good thing for anybody building products to know how that stuff goes on. And you got to ask yourself, what would our worst critics say about what we're doing? Am I going to look back a year from now, 5 years from now, and say, I was screwing people over. I was stealing their time. I was doing something that they're going to want to shut off. You know, am I selling cigarettes here, or am I selling something that's really valuable? And you're going to have to ask yourself that question. And I guess maybe that's the litmus test, is to figure out what would the worst critic say about your work? And can you, in good conscience, still say, like, this is worthwhile? You do bear some accountability as a product person, but individuals do too. Individuals can take control. You're not totally manipulated. You can take control, but you have a responsibility if you're building the product.
Do you really want to know what your worst critic would say about you if you were working at any company that's well known?
Yeah, you do. You got to know that stuff. That's, I think, been really helpful for me. And I mean, just to use the example of the main product of my sort of career has been the design sprint. And one of the things that was most useful for me was people being critical of it and listening to what they were saying. I don't always agree, but to hear what your critics are saying and then try to figure out for yourself, okay, if I take that to heart, if I'm honest about that with myself, about if the possibility that they're right, how would I adjust for that? And that's what got me away from group brainstorming in the first place, was having somebody say, how do you know this works? I was running a workshop and the guy asked it and I was mad when he did. But then I thought, okay, what if he's right? You got to listen to the people who are anti-tech and you got to say, okay, what if they're right? And think about that, you know? Because we get in a bubble. If you're working on a company that's building something, taking people's attention, trying to maximize engagement, everybody around you is talking about that all the time. And so the norm is that's okay. You have to listen to outside opinions and make sure you're not in a bubble.
Yeah, there's been a huge, huge backlash against when I was talking about the gaming side of it. The reason I'm so deep into that is like I'm just really, really, really interested in the gaming industry. There was a giant, giant scandal 2 months ago, or actually I think it was actually November, when EA brought out a game called Battlefront 2. It was like a Star Wars game. It was so like insanely manipulative that there was kind of almost like a boycott amongst all the large publications, and they all gave it like a really crap score. And it was a really, really huge deal. And it was like a lot of the tactics that these companies are using were kind of put into question. They've been also under the microscope for the last few years, but this was like then the biggest moment for that whole thing. It was really interesting. It also got me thinking about it. But that's gaming. That's another story. We shouldn't talk about
it. But that's good. That backlash is good because nobody, the next company is going to say, we don't want to be them.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you know what? That's been 20 minutes. I think we should wrap it.
Sounds good.
We did another good show.
I liked
one.
It. I liked it. Should I just say
it? Yeah, could you say that you liked it again? Could you do it in Kit's voice?
I liked it. Hey, John, I liked this episode. Wait, I now have to do David, but I like this episode, everybody.
And now the monkey. Perfect. I'm Jake Knapp. You can find me on Twitter. At JK Twitter, probably a social media thing taking your attention.
Not working.
And I can take some of your attention if you want to follow me on Twitter at Jake K. Where can people find you?
Hey, everybody. This is Jonathan, and you should follow me on Instagram, where I make very, very sensual stories every day, and I show you what my ass looks like after 3,000 squats. No, I'm sorry. I'm not one of those accounts. But I could be if you follow me at J Ice Cream.
If John gets up to 50,000 followers, he's going to do one of those accounts. So
yeah, I'm going to make one of those. You're not really on Instagram, but Instagram is
I don't
like,
even know how it works.
Seriously, it's all squats. It's like men and women, both like their
just
accounts
squats.
Are just like, here's what my ass and legs look like after like this many squats.
When I stopped using it, it was just people were just taking retro filtered photos of like their lunch. And
No. It's butts. It's all butts. Huh. You're missing the butt wave. This is what we're calling it.
All right. The butt wave is a good name for this episode. Let's stop here so we can be sure.
Love it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Product Breakfast Club. Product Breakfast Club. Have a nice week, everybody. Product Breakfast Club. Yeah.